we've learned a couple of things this morning. We've learned sleep deprivation is a real thing. It's real. We've also learned that we now have a limit on Case's caffeine intake before Sunday morning. So we've learned so much this morning, so much. Actually, we learned a lot this weekend, too. It was a good weekend. I know for me, one thing that was limited for us this weekend was screen time because there's no cell signal out where we were. And so as on our way back, as soon as the cell towers came into range, the van, I'm told, got real quiet. Everybody's phones started coming on. So we do have this thing. We have a relationship with our phones and our screens. We have all this screen time. And we spend a lot of time talking about, in fact, as I was walking through this morning, they were showing me pictures on their screen. And we just get a lot of screen time. Because what's on our screens, we're actually interested in. So it's not hard for us to go to our phones and go to our screens because we want what that has to offer us, that we're very interested in that. And if we're on a social media or on a platform, then the algorithm of that platform, that knows what we want because we tell it what we want. So every time we pause on something, it picks that up and it knows, oh, they want more of that. And so it searches the world over and it provides us with more of that because we've told it exactly what we are interested in. And so it is good to give us what we want. And we like that. Because we have proven that's what we want. And so it gives us that more and more and more and more. In fact, it gets to the point where our screens are overflowing with exactly what we have told the algorithm that we want. And so it gives us more and more and more. So I thought this morning as we began, I would share with you I think it's three of the reels that I most recently shared. I think this was last week. And so when we get something we like on our screen, a lot of times we hit that share button and we send it to somebody. And we're like, I want to share this with you. This was pretty interesting, made me laugh. So here are the last three things that I happened to share. Nathan's going to share it with you now. I need to turn that up. This is good. You can tell when I grew up. Y'all have no idea what this is. Just enjoy the musicality of it. You heard this growing up, you were among the best generation that's out here.
I'm going to be living in the trailer park side. I will not be on the mansion side. This mouth cost me some mansion upgrades. This mouth cost me the mansion HOA. God's going to say, trailer park for you.
Oh, Some of y'all don't need another Bible study. You need to apologize. If your favorite part of church is gossiping in the fellowship hall, just say that. Some of y'all rebuke the devil Monday through Saturday and then become him in the church parking lot. If you're asking for prayer every week and still dating the same idiot, at some point, that's on you. The Lord knows your heart. And I know that you parked in a handicapped spot. If your kid's running laps around the sanctuary, then congratulations, you're today's sermon. If y'all are speeding to beat everybody to the buffet after church, just know the Lord sees you.
All right, so now you know how my mind works. Those were the last three or four reels that I happened to share. And when those things come into my timeline, I feed on them. I enjoy them. And then my timeline gets filled with that more and more and more, and it kind of overflows with all of that stuff, and it just spills out. So when I start sharing those things, I usually share a bunch of them all at once. So it's like whoever the unfortunate person is that has to see that, that's my fault, because they all hit my timeline at the same time, and they're masterpieces. So I have to share them. If you are not a Christ follower yet this morning, or you're just investigating following Jesus, I want you to know you have picked a really good Sunday to be here, because this morning you're going to get a peek behind the curtain as to the things that we talk about as Christ followers. And really, one of the big things that we are all about as a follower of Jesus. So this morning, if you're not yet a Christ follower, please don't leave. I want you to know these are the things we talk about, and this is what we are striving for in our lives. We have purpose, and we are here for a purpose. So you really do have a great Sunday ahead of you, even if you're not a follower of Jesus. So this is a peek. So what we talked about the first 4 weeks of this series that we're in, it was all about loving God and how to love God and allowing God, as we love Him, allowing Him to fill our lives. That's what it was all about. And it all leads, the last 4 weeks lead to today, because today is all about us now loving other people. So the first 4 weeks was about us loving God, and today is about us loving other people. In fact, there is a verse, a passage in the Bible that is very famous, and it's a passage where Jesus is talking about the greatest commandment. Now, I'm not going to teach from that passage. I'm just mentioning it this morning. Jesus says this is the greatest commandment, and he said that is to love God with everything about you. That's the greatest commandment. In other words, the greatest thing we can do and should do with our lives is to love God. But then he said something really great. He said the second greatest commandment, he said, is equally important. So what he said next is equal to us loving God. And he said it is to love other people. He said, so loving God is the most important, and equal to that is loving everyone else around us. Wow, that's pretty important then, right? And so for this series, the first 4 weeks, we talked about how to love God. And today we're going to be talking about how to love other people. So what does that look like for you if you're a follower of Jesus to love other people? And we're going to talk about perhaps the ultimate way to love other people. Let's start right here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ, that means you're a follower of Jesus, you belong to Christ, you have become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. Now that process of the old Harley leaving and the new Harley arriving, it is a process, it's a lifelong process, and it is God's work of changing me into this new person. And here's how it happens. That happens as I love God. And we talked about the first 4 weeks about how to love God. How to love God. Let's go on. Verse 18. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. And today, that's exactly what he has called all of us to do. If you are a follower of Jesus, he has called you and me to the task of reconciling other people to God. He's called us to love other people. And I would say that the ultimate way that we can love other people is to help them reconcile with God, which means for today, let's simply say this, to help them connect with God. Now, verse 19, for God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. All right, that's the process of what Jesus has done for us. And now he gives us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Verse 20. So we are Christ's ambassadors. That means representatives. We are Christ's representatives here on this earth right now, if you're a follower of Jesus. God is making his appeal through us. In other words, that message that God wants to connect with the entire world, he's making that message, sending that message through us. We're Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. Come back to God. When this was written, Paul lived in a time just, Paul was a contemporary of Jesus. He lived in a time when there were kings and an ambassador. So this language was very familiar with everyone Paul was writing this letter to. And they understood an ambassador would represent the king. The ambassador could speak for the king. The ambassador could not create laws. He could not cast judgment. None of those things. That was for the king. But the ambassador could speak for him. If the king said, I want you to go say this, the ambassador would then go and speak for the king. And here he says the ambassador's job here is to say this, please come back to God. He's representing this ambassador that you and I are. If you're following Jesus, we are representing Jesus, and we have the message he had, which is, please come back to God. Our job as his ambassador is to help other people find their way back to God. All right. I grew up, Dakota shared with me some of his story this weekend. Let me share with you some of mine. I grew up with my parents taking me to church all the time. My church met Sunday morning, Sunday night. We met on Wednesday night. And we also then met one night during the week, which was called visitation, the dreaded visitation. And yes, I was a part of that as well. And at visitation, we met. Ours was, I think, was on Monday night. I can't quite remember. PTSD, I blocked it. But visitation. So let me tell you about our visitation. Some of visitation programs are amazing. Ours, it was a good program. But it really was a program, which means it just kind of was systematized. Visitation, if you're not familiar, you have heard us say on the stage before, we're not going to show up at your house. Right? That's just where you can give us your address on the connection card, because we're not going to just show up at your house. You can trust us. That's not going to happen. Nor is just someone else representing the church just going to show up at your house. We kind of give you our word on that, because used to, if you gave a church your address, they would just show up at your house. And I was one of those just shower uppers. And so, I actually went to a class. Ours was called CWT, it stands for Continuous Witness Training. It was a great program, and I learned so much from it. But the course material, you've seen three-ring binders. You know what I'm talking about. It's got three rings. The loose leaves are in it with the hole punches. And you've seen small ones that are about that thin and 8.5 by 11 sheets of paper, but they're thin. Then you've seen the ones that are like an inch. This was one of those giant ones. It was a three-ring binder about that big. And inside, it was filled with things for me to memorize. And so I actually had to memorize the entire binder. And it was conversations, and it was just, it was a program about how to share Christ with other people and how to help them connect with God. And it was huge. And so I had this binder memorized, which meant I could show up at somebody's house. I could knock on the door. We had, you know, there would be someone with me. We would hopefully get invited in. Isn't this so weird? They would hopefully invite us in where we could go into their living room. If not, we'd be welcome to talk to them on the porch. But hopefully they would invite us in and we could sit down and talk, and I could begin the process of opening up the conversation and work our way through all of that information in that binder, which we didn't carry the binders. We had it memorized. And so that's just how I was raised. The people who created that program had great intentions. And I know there are probably many, many people who are connected with Jesus today because of something like that. But one thing that's void in that to me, often, not always, but so often, is a relationship with other people. For instance, Dakota shared with me and the students part of his story this weekend. So did Jocelyn. And in that process, you know why he shared and why she shared that with us? Because we're all friends. And they were telling us part of their story. And so Dakota didn't know that there were binders available that he could memorize and could have shared with me the whole binder. Bryce and I talk about, there's a magnet there. Bryce and I talk about this thing. There's other things. The binders, they went from binders down to pamphlets. So they learned maybe we should shorten this up. But I actually have one of those at my desk as just a memory keepsake. But, you know, those were all well-intentioned and good things. So I'm not really knocking my roots. I'm just describing it was a different world back then. Back around the time those songs were playing that y'all have no idea what they were, that's when all of this was taking place as well in my life. So some of the ways to help people connect with Jesus, some of them were easier ways, some of them were not so easy. But it did feel, and I know as I described it, maybe this came to your mind, it did feel a little bit like a door-to-door salesman. And again, y'all may not know what those are, but the adults in your life do. They know what door-to-door salesmen are. But that's kind of the way it felt. But, and listen, hey, when I was doing that, I was your age. That's how old I was. And so things have changed. So what about you? My question for you to think about is, what was your experience like? And then, now let's shift that question just slightly. Let me ask, if you're a follower of Jesus, what is your experience like now as an ambassador, a representative of Christ? What has your experience been recently with you helping someone else connect with Jesus? So there's so many responses that could happen. Maybe for you, you might have a response that says, well, Harley, I don't know. I just have never felt that that's really my job to do that. And I would begin by responding by saying you are correct in one sense, because it's not a job at all. In fact, it's beyond a job. It's really a command. It's really a responsibility. It's really a mission. And let's think of it this way. It's really a trust that Christ has given to you. And he is saying this, Jesus is saying this, I, as Jesus, as God, am trusting you with continuing this message that I have started and that I came for and that this whole life is ultimately about. I'm trusting you with this message. So you're right, it's not a job. It's a trust that Jesus is trusting with you. He's entrusted that mission. So maybe you've said something like this. Well, you've said, maybe, I'm just not really good at that. Other people could do that much better than me. And a lot of times they'll point to someone like me and they'll say, like a pastor or a teacher, you're better at it. You do that. I'll do something else. Well, here's the thing. Maybe that's true, but just possibly. And I've just admitted, I mean, I started when I was a teenager, and so I have been doing it longer. But do you know this? Dakota, Jocelyn, the first time I shared my story with other people, teenagers specifically, the first time I did it, I was not good at it. I was not good at it. My daughter... Yesterday evening, right before Dakota and Jocelyn shared their stories with us, we were all gathered together. My daughter, I got a picture. My daughter had her baby in Indiana near Fort Wayne. And so, do you realize that baby? I mean, it's been growing for about, 8 months? I think a little bit early. That it cannot walk yet at all. I mean, it was just, in all the pictures that we were sent, it was just laying there. Wasn't walking. It was either laying there or someone was holding it. Her. It's not an it, I guess. Could not walk yet. And in fact, If I were to bet, I would bet that you were not born walking either. I know I wasn't. I was born eating, but not walking. No one is born good at walking. They are they are failures at walking. They are horrible at walking. They can't do it. And if we were to take a survey, they would all say, why don't you carry me? Because someone else could walk a whole lot better than I can walk. But here's the truth. Here's the truth. None of us are born as a new believer particularly good at helping people connect with Jesus. But the more we do it, and the more we try, the better we get. And so we could say, I'm not really good at that. Other people can do it better. And that may be a true statement, but it is not a good response. Perhaps you knew that you were supposed to do it, and maybe you thought, well, I don't really have to actually tell them this message that Paul said, hey, please come back to God. I could just live that message. And maybe they can just watch me and they can just learn what they need to know by watching my life. I don't have to really tell them. And I guess I would ask the question, for most of us, we could say, is that how it worked for us? That nobody said anything to us. Nobody taught us anything, showed us anything, explained anything. And somehow we just watched their life and we said, you know, I think what's missing in my life is that I just need to submit my life to the care and the control of Jesus. Because I've been watching you, and I feel like that's what I need to do. I'm not sure that's how it worked for us, right? Maybe this is what I did. Maybe you wrote yourself an excuse, kind of like a doctor's note. And the doctor's note excuse for you, if it's the same one I wrote for me, says, I'm too shy. I get a pass. I'm too shy. I'm just too shy. I get a pass. I know you won't believe me, especially when I've just admitted to you that when I was this age, I was memorizing that notebook and I was knocking on people's doors. I know you won't believe me possibly, but the truth is, as I was growing up, when I was the age of the kiddos back here in 252 and First Look, I was terribly shy. Painfully, there, I could say with pretty good confidence that at that age, there was no one more shy than I was. Certainly people who are equally as shy as I was, but not more. I was so terribly shy. I gave myself a pass on a lot of things growing up. But we don't get that pass. We don't get this trust that God has given us. We don't get it excused. This is kind of me, again, growing up. This would have been in the 70s now, at the skating rink, Allskate. Everyone skate. Allskate. This is that for a Christ follower. We're all getting out on the rink on this one. It's an Allskate. Jesus sends us all out on the floor, even the ones who can't skate very good. He's sending us out on the floor on this. Here's one of the most common excuses we have, knowing that this is a trust he's given us. We might say, well, Harley, I just don't know what to say. And I would answer that by saying, I did not either, so I do understand that. So I was just told to memorize that book. I mean, and we did, and we practiced. I mean, that's what I did. But you know what? While all that information was accurate that I memorized, the thing that was missing, and I've already commented on this, was relationship. That's what was missing. So maybe your excuse for saying, listen, this is just not my thing, is maybe this, I just don't want to pressure anybody. And I would say I don't either. I just want to lovingly and kindly show them the way to connect with Jesus. Think of it this way with me. If there were a fire in your house, and the people inside could not get out, and you're outside, do you love them if you leave them? It's like, oh, well, mom or dad or sister or brother, it's just too late. Do you love them if you know the way out, if you know how to get out of the house, and there is a way out of the house, and the house is on fire, but you leave them, do you actually love them? If you don't show them, and let's say you can even safely show them, So we're not even asking you to choose between your life and death. You can safely show them out of the house that's on fire. Do you love them if you leave them? Surely. Surely we don't have to memorize a script. And surely to do this, to lead them out of that house, surely we don't have to memorize a script. We don't have to be a salesman to convince them. Surely we don't have to pressure them. Because all of that is so unnatural. So my question now as we're beginning to move forward here is this. Is there a natural way to do what God has asked us to do? And as a matter of fact, there is. So the greatest commandment is this, love God. The second is equally important, and it is to love others. And loving God, that is what this whole thing that we've been talking about in this journal. So each week we have talked about a different part of this journal. And we've provided you with all the information that you need to create your own journal. Or you can go and buy a journal. Doesn't matter. Whatever you want to do. But I have copies that you can take and you can just copy. There's a website called powerpackonline.com that I've created just for you, so that you can go there and get all of this for free and create this journal to help you love God and to help Him fill your life. So that's what all of this has been about the past 4 weeks, one section at a time. We started by teaching you how to talk with God, called prayer. And then we talked about how to listen to God and how to take His word and bring it into your life. So you talk to God, that's prayer. Him talking to you is largely going to happen from His scriptures into your life. And then we talked about how to set your mind on those things above, how to take some of that scripture and plant it very deeply into your life. And then Cole talked about last week, Colin Bryce talked about how even that habit of seeing our lives as God, you own everything and I'm just managing it, that's part of how we love God. And today, we're now talking about how to love others, and surely, surely, there is a way to do it that is more natural, where we're not salesmen, and we're not knocking, having to knock on doors, and we're not pressuring people. And so here's how that works. Because we learn that to love God, we actually do have to love other people as well. We love God. We love others. So kind of going back to where we started this morning. Why do you share something on your screen feed on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok? Why do we share that? We share something that we have found interesting. And you've been around long enough to know that to have a diet of what that has been feeding us on our screens, that it kind of gets to the point that we're kind of compelled to share that. Some of the things I share, I actually share it before I really think about it. I'm just kind of compelled. I just do it. And that same principle applies with the task of us being an ambassador, a representative of Christ. Because if we have not been adequately allowing God to fill us, then we are not adequately filled. But when we begin loving God in a way that we have described over the past 4 weeks, then God begins filling your life with himself and with the things he wants in your life. And then something begins happening inside of you, and you are simply compelled to share that with others. And we do it so that they can experience what we are experiencing with God. Listen to how Paul describes this in Colossians chapter 2. He says, "And now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him." That's what we've talked about the past 4 weeks. Continuing to follow after, to chase after, to love God. You must continue to follow him. Here's how he says you do that. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him. And that happens with prayer, and that happens with Bible study, that happens with setting your mind on the things above. We've described all of that the last 4 weeks. Let your roots grow down into him. Let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. All right. You will overflow. You will grow strong, and you will overflow. So when I was younger, somebody showed me this, and I thought, that makes sense to me. So let me open this mug. Sorry, Case, we're going to lose a mug here today. So I'm going to take this root beer, and I'm going to pour it into here. The foam's really going to get on my nerves here, but it does smell good. Here we go. That's enough. So we've got, this is me being filled with me. It might smell good, but it doesn't look good. But that's me being, and you know what? The more I pour into this, the more I'm going to have in there, right? The more full it's going to get, the more I'm going to be full of me. I'm going to be filled with me. That's all me. And so what we have taught you over the past few weeks is this. We're teaching you to allow God, through a relationship with him and through prayer and Bible study and taking scripture and placing it deeply into your life, all of these habits of a relationship with God, allowing him to come into your life and to fill you. And when that happens, look, it doesn't look the same as it did, but it's still pretty full of me. I'm still in there. But the longer I allow him to fill me, the longer I allow him through prayer and Bible study and scripture memory, the longer I allow that to happen, the more he fills my life. And the more I empty myself of me, and the more I'm filled with him. Super simple illustration. We can kind of understand that. That makes sense. But look what happens. Once I get filled, I can't stop it from coming out. I can't. It's overflowing. I can't make it stop. Now, I could if I stop being filled. It'll stop. Slowly, it'll stop. But as long as I'm being filled, I am most definitely overflowing. As long as I'm being filled, the fact is, I can't stop it from overflowing. Why? Because that's what God's Spirit does And listen, he does it not sometimes, not most of the time, and not for Steve, and he doesn't do it for Steve and not for me. He does it all the time, every single time. He will fill your life to the point that you are overflowing. That's how God's Spirit works. And it's how he changes me. So here's this leaves so many questions and thoughts. If my life begins to once again be filled with me, it will eventually overflow with just me again. If my life stops overflowing with what God's Spirit is putting into my life, it means I have stopped allowing Him to fill me. So when we ask the question, this is a powerful question for me. I don't know if it is for you, but it is for me. If I am not being the ambassador that God wants me to be and plans for me to be and trusts that I will be, I can only point the finger at me, because I'm not overflowing. We said, is there a way that we can share Christ? We can help our friends and people around us connect with God, or at least know how to connect with God? Is there a way that is more natural and is not like a salesman and is not like a pressure thing? Absolutely, there is. It's called the overflow principle, and Paul described it right there beautifully. And if I'm not overflowing, it's probably because I'm not adequately filled. And how do I get filled? We talked about that for 4 weeks. Because that is called a relationship with Christ, chasing after Jesus. And as we do those things, as we develop those habits in our life, prayer and Bible study, taking Scripture, placing it deeply into our lives, setting our mind on the things above, His Spirit is constantly filling our lives, and you will soon overflow every single time. That is the natural way to share the message that Christ has asked you to share with other people. And it happens most frequently, not from a stage, not from a platform and a microphone. Most frequently, and might I say probably most effectively, it happens one at a time, one by one, friend to friend, mother to child, husband to wife, wife to husband, neighbor to neighbor, teacher to student, student to teacher, student to student, friend to friend, one by one. Wow. Matthew 28, Jesus had these words to say, some of the most famous words. You will probably recognize these. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth." All authority. Jesus really is the King. He really is the King. And you really are his ambassador. We represent the King of all kings. And he has given us this trust. And once again, ask yourself this question. What if every follower of Jesus were an ambassador like me? What would happen to the lives of everyone around us? We are not born good at this. So let's learn together how to continually walk after, chase after, love God and allow him to fill us every day. Fill us. And so this last page of this journal, I don't know if I brought one up. I think I gave all mine away. The last page of the journal, I passed some out to you. That's good. I don't think I could read it anyway without my glasses. The last page of the journal that we're talking about today, there's a place at the very top where you would write a name. This would be the name of a person that you don't know if they have a relationship with Christ yet. You don't know. Maybe you do know they don't, but you may not know. But it's someone you just, well, I wonder if they have submitted their life to the care and the control of Jesus. You're not sure. You write their name down. And so Jesus said to us, "I've been given all authority and all power here on heaven and on earth." And so now he says, therefore, in verse 19, go. He says, now, I have everything you need. I'm the King, and now I'm sending you out as my ambassador. I want you to go, therefore go. So we ask ourselves this, how do we go? What's the best way for us to go today to that person and the person that you may write their name on that piece of paper? How's the best way for you to go to them? And I would suggest to you this, perhaps the best thing you can do in order to go to that person is to serve them. To serve them. When I used to go and knock on somebody's door, I had not earned the right for them to listen to me. In fact, I was an invader, really, if you want to think about it. I had not earned the right for them to hear what I had to say. So, but if you will love somebody by serving them, eventually you have earned the right to be heard. So you serve with them. Before we can do what God asks us to do, which says, go and say this, come back to God, before we can effectively do that, most often, not every time, but most often, we need to earn the right to be heard. So let's go serve them. Let's go love them. So here's what we do on that piece of paper. It just simply says, ask God to help you love and serve this person toward Jesus. So what can you do to serve them? Well, maybe if it's someone you work with, maybe they're getting behind at work. Maybe you offer to help them at work. Help them catch up. That's serving them. Maybe perhaps they have stress in life, and maybe stress in their family, or there's maybe illness in their family. And so maybe you take a meal to their house. You serve them. Have they hurt their back, like so many of us so often do? Maybe you offer to mow their yard. Or maybe you remember their birthday is coming up, or an anniversary, or a special day in their life, and you remember that and do something for them on that day. Maybe it's a movie ticket for them and another person, not for them and you. You don't want to trap them with you. That's not very loving. Or maybe you take them a cup of coffee. Or maybe they're working outside and you bring them some cold water. I don't know, but you look for ways to love them, to serve them. Maybe there's something that they do and it's something you do. Maybe you can just go help them do what they're doing. If it's something you need in your life, there's a good chance they may need it in their life. And so maybe you just go help meet that need. And as you love them and serve them over the course of time, here's what the next note is on that piece of paper. It says, when appropriate, tell them you're praying for them. Very specifically, for your friends. I'm praying for my friends. And I'm just wondering, is there something I can pray about for you? I would be glad to add it to my list. You don't even have to pray for them right there. That could make them feel awkward. I don't know. But you could say, I'll go home and I'll add that to my list and I'll pray for that. And then write that down and then actually go and pray for those things. And at some point you come back and you get to say this, you get to say, hey, listen, I've been praying. Let me know if there's any changes. How's it going? Let me know. What's going on? Is there something I can pray for? Just go back and touch base with them. And so then on that piece of paper I just handed, there's a place for you to say, what are some ideas about how you can serve this person that you just wrote their name? And you write down your own ideas. This is something I might be able to do. And as you do some of those things, you get to go and say, yeah, I did that. I was able to do that. And you're holding yourself accountable to loving that person. So Jesus says to go. So he's sending us out. And then he says, make disciples. One way, a step in that process of making disciples. And that's where someone gets to the point where they are going to connect their lives with Jesus. You're letting them know how that happens. So let me tell you some ways you can do that. One way is simply inviting a friend and saying, hey, you can come sit with me on a Sunday. We're going to partner with you. Your church is going to partner with you in this process of making disciples. That's one way you can do it. That's one way. Just pick them up. Bring them with you or meet them in the parking lot. I would certainly hate to walk into a place like this, having never been in there before. I would hate to do that by myself. I would much rather if someone met me in the parking lot. Show them around. Bring them in. If you pick the right week, we've got biscuits and gravy. And so here are some things you say, what are some ideas? How can I serve them? Then invite them to be a part and to sit with you. And then when appropriate, listen to this. This is where it gets real personal. When appropriate, tell them how God is changing your life. And maybe invite them again to the church in Malvern or to for our folks in Stuttgart to over there. Invite them again. But you're in the process of telling them part of your story, how God is changing you and what God is doing in your life and in your family. Because I guarantee if you have been allowing him to fill you, no matter where you are in the process, it may still be tinged with brown. It may still be really brown. But if he is pouring into your life, you have something to say about how he is changing you. And here's where your story comes in. I would encourage you to literally write down your story. And here's why I say that. I know for me, when I was a teenager, my youth minister asked me to write down my story. And in that moment, I got down one word. And this was the exact same thing he had me write down. What was your life like before Jesus? And so I began to write down my story. I said, and then I realized I had nothing to write because I had not yet submitted my life to the care and the control of Jesus. So my life was still, what was it like before Jesus? Like this now, like I was right there in that moment. I would encourage you to write down your story, not because you're going to take that piece of paper and read it to your friend, but it just helps you organize your thoughts about your story. And so what was your life like before Jesus? Write down a paragraph that describes what was your life like before you submitted your life to the care and the control of Jesus. And then write down this: what drew you to Jesus? What were things that maybe happened that made you start thinking about Jesus? Was it a conversation? Was it something going on? Can I tell part of your story, Dakota? Part of Dakota's story, as I put him on the spot in front of everybody, what else could he say? But yes, Dakota told me part of his story was this. He had a friend who invited him to FCA. What's your story? So what was your life like before Jesus? And then what were some events, some things that happened that made you begin thinking about these things? For Dakota, it was an invitation to FCA. That's just part of it. There were other things going on and happening, but that was part of it. So what were the events? What happened? Was it a conversation? Was it a death in the family? Was it a sickness, an illness? Was there something going on in your life? What happened to make you start thinking about those things? What drew you a little closer to be interested in Jesus? And then when did you, here's the next part of your story, when did you submit your life to his care and control? When did you submit your life to his care and control? And then the last part is this: what is your life like now with Jesus? What was your life like before? What drew you? What were some things that happened that made you start thinking about him and your life? Then when did you submit your life to Jesus? And then what is your life like now? And here's a big part of what is your life like now. I do not want you to be misled. So if you are not yet a follower of Jesus, the answer is not going to ever be, my life became everything I wanted it to be, and all my dreams and hopes were answered, and everything I wanted I accomplished, and my life became perfect. That's not what's going to happen. Let me give you a heads up what will happen. As you learn to love God, and as you spend time with him in prayer, well, my Holy Spirit picture's empty. So my illustration's done. But his picture is never empty. And as long as you are being filled with him in a relationship with prayer and Bible study and putting his scriptures deeply into your heart and your mind, as long as he is filling you, he is doing things in your life as he's changing your perspective and molding you and shaping you. And those are the things that fill. So even though you go through the same things that everyone else in this world goes through, the same pains, the same illnesses, the same struggles, we have a source of peace and love and hope that changes everything. Because he goes with us through it all. Now, all you simply have to do is keep adding people to your journal, and you pray for them, and you keep chasing after God, allowing him to fill you. And he keeps overflowing, and he's going to overflow onto those very people you're praying for. And one day, after you have loved them and served them, one day you will be able to share your story with them. Do you know how all of our stories end? They end with this. My hope for you is that you'll come back to God. Wow. We're going to wrap this up. I want to finish what Jesus said. He said, all power has been given to me, all authority. Therefore, go, make disciples. And then he says, of all nations, and baptize them. For us, that's when we celebrate. We're going to do a baptism. Case just talked about it on September the 13th, I believe. September 13th. And if you have not yet been baptized, if you have submitted your life to his care and control and have not yet been baptized, we invite you to come be baptized. Let us know. Let us know. We would love that. Baptism time coming up. He says, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then teach these new disciples to, so we make disciples, teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. That means with the people that are in your life, that you share that your story with, and if they do submit their life to his care and control one day, then you get to join the effort of helping to teach them. And what are you going to teach them? You, I hope, will teach them how to chase after Jesus. And you will teach them how, the very things we have taught you over the past 4 weeks, how to pray, how to have a prayer time, how to take his words and study his words, and how to take some of those and plant them very deeply into your life. We'll teach them how to be disciples and how to take those commands and place them into our lives. That's what you'll teach them. And Jesus says, be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. And listen, you are not doing this alone. You are not doing this alone. God is with you. His Spirit literally in you. You are not doing this alone. One of the most powerful weapons of the evil one is this: a silent Christ follower. A silent Christ follower. You know what the remedy for that is? It is for us to grow until we overflow. That's the remedy. Grow to overflow. Grow to overflow. Will you commit with us to grow to overflow? And then I challenge you with this: begin praying for that friend now. Even though you may not yet be overflowing, begin praying for that friend now. Write that friend's name down. Begin loving them and serving them. Begin growing to the point where God's Spirit is overflowing, his love and his kindness and his compassion overflowing on the people around you. Will you accept the mission that God has entrusted to you? We're going to close with one song, and then I'm going to come back up and pray for us, and we'll be dismissed. But before we sing this one song together, let's pray. God, thank you for my friends who are here today. Thank you that you have a plan for us. Thank you that we are not just randomly here. That God, you have a purpose for our lives. We are to love you. And in loving you, to be filled with you. So filled that our lives just overflow. And then we love the people around us and let what you are overflowing out of our lives, we let that overflow onto the lives around us. So God, we celebrate you in song, the love you have for us that you want to fill us with. We celebrate that right now in the name of Jesus. We pray these things.